Shalom, and welcome to Torah Bites. This is Alan Gilman with Torah Bites for the week of July the 11th, 2026, the 26th of Tammuz, 5786. The following is an updated version of a message originally posted the week of July 26, 2014, the 28th of Tammuz, 5774. Before we get into this week's message, I want to share something by way of introduction. July the 2nd, 2026 marked the 1,000th day since the October 7, 2023 massacre, the worst attack on the Jewish people since the Holocaust. Despite endless political deals and promises, this conflict, rooted in centuries-old animosity, seems destined to never end. My impression is that relatively few truly understand what is really going on. I first posted the following during the 2014 Gaza War. Reading it over again, including the article and the video I mentioned, made me feel as if nothing has changed in 12 years. I contend that the only way any of us can effectively deal with these matters is by confronting the ideological battle with the truth of Scripture. Links to the article and video are in the description. This week's message is entitled Ideological Warfare, and I'm reading from Bamidbar Numbers chapter 33, verses 51 and 52. When you pass over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their figured stones, and destroy all their metal images, and demolish all their high places. Like many others, I continue to be caught up in the tragic situation between Israel and its neighbors. The number of articles and videos is overwhelming. As you may know, if the issue includes Israel, we end up with an inordinate amount of emotionally charged attention and opinions. Now and then, I come across an article or report that, in my opinion, stands out from the others for how the author avoids narrow definitions and simplistic conclusions. Richard Landis's Why the Arab World is Lost in an Emotional Nakba and How We Keep It There examines the conflict through a worldview lens. Whether or not Landis's evaluation is fully correct, he's right that the problem at hand is fundamentally ideological. How people see the world controls how they live life. Failure to accept that will undermine any attempt to resolve conflict, whether it be interpersonal or international. But this is not the way many of us look at life. Instead, we prefer simplistic, superficial analysis along with quick, thoughtless solutions. A great example of this, as it relates to the current crisis, is Nina Paley's 3.5-minute animation, This Land Is Mine, a satirical retelling of the history of the region that features each people group being killed off by the next people group as our cartoon representatives seamlessly lip-sync the song This Land Is Mine from the 1960 film Exodus. The appeal of Paley's animation, apart from its humor, is its simplicity. But it's a misguided simplicity that completely ignores the region's historical reality. This version is stripped of any historical context whatsoever. The bigger picture that might inform and affect the behavior of the people involved is completely neglected, as if it were irrelevant. There's no consideration whatsoever for the various factions' history, values, and aspirations. All the viewer is offered is a story of meaningless killing, along with the implied resolution being that if only the fighting stopped, everything would be okay. A cry of, "Why can't we all get along?" may sound good, but it's devoid of any sense of authentic, not to mention lasting, justice. What does this have to do with this week's Parsha, our weekly Torah reading portion? Everything. First, so much of the Bible is devoted to issues pertaining to the region in question. The backdrop to much of what is going on in Scripture can be termed Middle East crisis. By the Bible's 12th chapter, the claim to the land of Israel is already a key theme. While many people are quick to draw personal spiritual lessons from the Bible stories, the context of both the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Covenant writings primarily concerns the region's geopolitical issues. Yet many readers of Scripture treat this context in the same way as Paley's animation. The bigger story becomes irrelevant in our attempt to distill the meaning we wish to derive. The verses I quoted from this week's Parsha demonstrate what the conflict in the region is really all about. When God called the people of Israel to take the land, they were not only to drive out its inhabitants, but also to destroy the objects of their religions. They were not simply a migrant people looking for territory and annihilating anybody who stood in their way. Their God-given objective was to establish a godly community of truth and righteousness, while at the same time displacing the previous inhabitants. This was not indiscriminate, but was rather the God-ordained judgment on peoples whose evil behavior had become irreversible. Check out Bereshit, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16. I'm not proposing that the modern state of Israel should follow the same directions today that God gave through Moses over 3,000 years ago. I don't believe that the Bible supports that at all. Still, this reminds us that all conflict is fundamentally ideological. This is why Landis's article is so helpful. He understands that the two sides differ in how they see the world. Additionally, Paley's animation offers a more contemporary perspective that effectively skirts the real issues, while, hopefully unintentionally, insulting the people involved by belittling their concerns. The Bible is God's revelation of the way the world really is, and calls us to make that truth known in the name of the Messiah. The players in the current conflict are caught up in this ideological battle, whether they know it or not. The only way we will ever find lasting resolutions to this and every other conflict is by gaining a better understanding of God's perspective through His written word. If this was helpful, please like and share, and don't forget to subscribe. If you're interested in supporting my Bible teaching, information on how to do so is in the description. You can leave your questions and comments below or email me at comments@torahbites.org. Until next time, this is Alan Gilman with Torah Bites. Lehitraot.